All right, guys, we are literally weeks away from closing out the year of 2024. And now I don't know how many of you guys have actually sat and thought about what will 2025 bring us. I mean, just I know that's a lot to digest with everything that's going on, but this is a reality that we're facing right now. And it's something to really think about. Think about everything that has transpired in the past 12 months. I mean, we've had the attempt assassination of a former U.S. president who has now been reelected and an historical win. We've got this explosion of this UFO, UAP phenomenon. We have the war in Europe that's escalating, that's drawing sides, that's shaping up to be what looks like World War III. Some experts even say that we're already in World War III. We've got a situation in the Middle East that has been there with Israel and with Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran. And now there's an interesting situation is developing in Syria that we're going to talk about today. We no doubt have signs, fearful and great. Great and fearful sights and signs from heaven that's going to probably come in 2025, that's been here in 2024. We've seen a lot of them this year. And again, we're heading into 2025. And then I think one of the most shocking, it's going to really impact the Christian community, is what's going on right now. The house of cards is toppling. Your entire Christian networks are on the brink of collapse because of scandals. And now yet another situation is unfolding with another well-renowned biblical scholar, Bible teacher. It's just very sad. But again, all of these things, we were told these things were going to happen. They're only going to escalate and they're going to increase. So today, on today's program, I'm going to pull up an article from Michael Snyder. It's going to kind of be our foundation introduction of this. And then we're just going to kind of dovetail off of that. And we're going to, today's topic, we're going to talk about, are you prepared? Am I prepared? Are we prepared for what 2025 has in store for us? Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, it is Tuesday, December 3rd, and we welcome you to today's program. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, and I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And we want to welcome you to today's program. Listen, if you're new, you're dropping in for the first time, joining us, somebody invited you in, let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. We'd always love to hear from you. Of course, if you're listening by Apple or Spotify, we appreciate you as well. Be sure to give us a good review. That's going to help us out there in podcast land. And you guys on Rumble and YouTube, we'd appreciate if you hit that like button. That's going to help get eyes on our program and on our ministry. And of course, guys, if you'd like to take it a step further, you don't want to miss any headline, any podcast, any breaking news, any prophecy viewpoint. Be sure to pick up your free app today. You can download it. You can go to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you, Apple, Android. Just type in End Time Headlines, and you're going to see our official ETH logo. That's what it looks like right there if you're watching the visual of this. Again, download it. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. So let's go right into this, guys. I'm going to pull up this article. This is from Michael Snyder. Now, this is the title of this article. Again, you can find this at themostimportantnews.com, and I believe theeconomiccollapse.com. He's got two websites. We really are living in the end times, and 2025 is going to be a nightmare. Now, he's come out and said he believes it's going to be a nightmare. Let's see what he talks about here. Quote, many people seem to have a fundamental misunderstanding regarding where we are in the grand scheme of things. We are not living at a time of endless peace and prosperity. Instead, we are living at a time of war, famine, pestilence, and major natural disasters. We really are living in the end times, and the coming year is going to be filled with crisis after crisis. And I have to agree with this. The good news is that you get to be here for it. All of human history, well, of course, unless the rapture takes place. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be wonderful? All of human history has been building up to this particular chapter, and you are one of the lucky ones that is going to get to experience it. Let's move on. According to the Institute for Economics and Peace, the number of military conflicts that are currently active is the highest that we've ever seen since World War II. And I'm going to read this quote he's got here. Ukraine, Gaza, Sudan, Ethiopia, Afghanistan, Syria, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Colombia, and so on. There are up to 56 active conflicts in the world, which is the highest number since World War II. Now, guys, stop. This is, again, this agrees with Matthew 24. There will be wars, plural tense, and rumors, plural tense, of wars, nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Moreover, these carry an increasingly international component with 92 countries, look at that, involved in wars outside their borders. These are data from the latest Global Peace Index produced annually by the Institute for Economics and Peace, a think tank that analyzes everything from military investment and the cost of violence to military laws and deaths in combat in 163 states and territories. Getting the information is a challenge, but it allows us to compare dynamics. And what we see is a deterioration of peace over the last decade, especially in the last 5 years. Now, this is according to Michael Collins, who is an executive director of IEP. Now, in regards to these wars and rumors of wars, even this past week, things are even increasing more. As we speak, the Western Alliance, made up of the United States, Europe, Israel, and their allies, is all engaged in a battle for supremacy with the Eastern Alliance, which is made up of Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, Syria, and their allies. However, this conflict has now erupted across a couple of new fronts. But of course, most of us are oblivious to this. Let's take a look at what's happening in Syria. All right, according to a report, Syrian rebels breached the city of Aleppo in what they're calling the largest advance in years. A new assault on Syrian regime forces reached the major city, according to rebels and a war monitor. Government warplanes struck back at rebel territory. Now, we're going to give you some more information on this, but I'm going to give you some facts about Aleppo. Aleppo's history dates back over 4,000 years, and it has been a major center of civilization for a millennia. Archaeological evidence suggests habitation as far back as the 6th millennial BC. This is a major trade hub located at the crossroads of several ancient trade routes, including the Silk Road. Aleppo was a key commercial hub in the Middle East. Now, before the Syrian Civil War, Aleppo was Syria's largest city and an economic powerhouse known for its industries, including textiles and food processing. So outside of Damascus, which is the capital of Syria, this is one of the oldest cities there in Syria. Now, so this is a huge deal. Now, I'm going to give you some video and then we'll be right back.
The more than decade-old civil war in Syria appears to be reigniting as rebel fighters breached Aleppo, Syria's second largest city, following a surprise large-scale offensive this week. It's the first time they've set foot there since they were ousted by a brutal military campaign 8 years ago. And it marks the most significant challenge to President Bashar al-Assad's government in years. Videos released by the Syrian Civil Defense, or White Helmets, showed the city and its surrounding villages in ruins. Syrian government forces and their Russian allies have countered the insurgent attacks in recent days with airstrikes. The UN says at least 27 civilians, including 8 children, have been killed in the fighting. There are also simmering tensions elsewhere in the Middle East. The fragile ceasefire between Israel and Lebanese Hezbollah militants appears to be holding, But the Israeli military conducted another airstrike today after it says it identified, quote, terrorist activity. This video claims to show the destruction of a Hezbollah rocket launcher. And more footage shows Israeli troops operating in southern Lebanon, where they can remain for up to 60 days. A senior Israeli commander said their focus for now is enforcement and that they are watching Hezbollah closely.
If Hezbollah make a mistake, it will be a big one. We are prepared to return to offense and return to combat. Yes, we are now in enforcement mode, but we can very clearly, in a very short time, give the opposite order and move forward again.
The Lebanese army has accused Israel of breaking the ceasefire several times since it went into effect. There have been no reported casualties in these Israeli strikes. Iran plans to expand uranium enrichment at its two top nuclear sites, sparking concern in the West that added enrichment capacity could bring more uranium up to weapons-grade levels. The United Nations nuclear watchdog, the IAEA, says Tehran has acquired thousands of advanced centrifuges to purify uranium faster. But it says Iran only plans to purify to 5% levels. Uranium must be enriched to 90% for a bomb. Recently, the IAEA reprimanded Iran for not fully cooperating with it. Tehran insists its nuclear program is peaceful.
Wow. Now look at this. Iran, look at this article. Iran's parliament, Iran to render military assistance to Syria at Damascus request. Here we go. Again, these are key players of Bible prophecy. Iran's military aid will be provided as soon as Tehran receives a request from the Syrian government. This is according to the head of the National Security and Foreign Policy Committee of Iran's parliament. Russia's actions in Syria befit its status of a UN Security Council member. This is according to the head of the National Security and Foreign Policy Committee of Iran's parliament, which he made this statement last Thursday. According to him, Russia's military operation in Syria will contribute both to struggle against terrorism and efforts to reach a political settlement to the Syrian crisis. He went further to tell in a news conference that in Damascus that Iran was ready to, quote, render military assistance to Syria. Iran's military aid will be provided as soon as Tehran receives a request from the Syrian government. We're going to announce it immediately. This head of Iranian's delegation arrived in Damascus on Wednesday for talks with Syrian Vice Premier and Foreign Minister, wherein which Syrian President Bashar al-Assad is expected to meet on Thursday. The Iranian deputy stressed the importance of the four-sided coordination of efforts by Russia, Iran, Iraq, and Syria in fighting terrorism. Now, again, interesting. You've got Russia, Iran, Iraq, and Syria. All of these major players of Bible prophecy. And of course, guys, we know Damascus is a major player in Bible prophecy because Isaiah 17 reveals to us in the future, sometimes in the future, somehow, some way, it's going to end up being left a pile of rubble. It will become a, if you want to quote the prophet, a ruinous heap. And that has never happened in history. All right, here's another article I want to show you. All right, as Islamic militias are taking over Aleppo, this is putting Syrian Christians in grave danger. All right, Syrian Christians in Aleppo face grave danger as Islamist militias took over the city. Local church leaders are saying the militias, including jihadist groups, have seized control following the withdrawal of government forces and are removing all Christmas decorations. Wow. According to report, the Archbishop of Aleppo described the situation as being, quote, in limbo, noting that armed groups took over after a surprise offensive. Life here started up again. The situation was calm, but now everything is closed. Again, this is according to the Archbishop there at Aleppo. Shops and bakeries have ceased operations and citizens have not stocked supplies due to the lack of warning before the attacks. Nobody warned us, adding that despite the lack of current attacks on Christian targets, uncertainty looms over what might happen next. The militias have reportedly documented their takeover of Aleppo through social media. And according to, again, this Hugo Alinez, of the Institute of the Incarnate World, almost all of Aleppo is now under militia control, with religious leaders visiting parishes to provide support. He went on to tell that while their church remains open, many residents, including students and elderly, have, quote, moved to the parts to other parts of the city for their own safety. All right, so guys, I just want to remind you, these individuals are our brothers and sisters as well. These Christians in Syria, they're facing persecution that we don't understand, that we have never experienced. We have no point of reference to that type of persecution. Our persecution falls in the category of, our relatives not talking to us or giving us the silence treatment or not inviting us over for Thanksgiving dinner or unfriending us or unfollowing us or snoozing us on Facebook or whatever on social media, or they don't call us anymore. They befriend or they don't, they no longer accept our friendships or relationships. They give us the cold shoulder. They don't sit with us at lunch on our lunch break with our coworkers. This is the type of persecution that we are accustomed to in America. But this is a whole other level, guys. This is the level of, if you remember back when ISIS began to take over huge swaths of the Middle East, this was the kind of persecution where Christians, believers, again, these believers in Christ were literally beheaded. This is stuff straight out of the book of Revelation, where there will be those in the tribulation that will be martyred, and the Bible says they will be done so by beheading. Now, I'll let you guess, again, what major fanatical religion still institutes that today? This is why I'm convinced 100%, and I know people disagree with me on this, but that's okay, but I'm 100% convinced that the Antichrist of Bible prophecy will be Islamic. I believe the religion will be Islam. It will be composed of an apostate form of Christianity mingled with Islam, but they will have the tenets of the Islamic faith, which is that God has no son, that Muhammad was the prophet, and Allah is the true God. And then when the Mahdi appears, this is according to their beliefs, by the way, that when their Mahdi appears, who is their Messiah, he will break the cross of Christianity. And this is why I believe that that Mystery Babylon could very well be the Vatican in Rome, because it would be the last symbol of Christianity. And again, I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. The Vatican is not a symbol of Christianity. It's a symbol of Catholicism. Listen, we understand this, guys, but outside of America, again, stop putting everything in America. People emphasize so much Bible prophecy on what America's doing. America is not even mentioned in Bible prophecy. The Antichrist is not coming out of America. He's not coming out of the White House. You need to get this out of your mind. And again, all this end time activity comes out of the Middle East, the Mediterranean Sea basin, the ancient Roman Empire, all that area right there. So outside of America, guys, the major symbol of Christianity is the Vatican in Rome, whether you like it or not. So again, this is why I believe the Antichrist will be responsible for destroying this Mystery Babylon in 1 hour's time. And again, according to Islamic belief, this Mahdi, when he appears, he will, and I quote, break the cross of Christianity and convert the world to Islam. Okay? So, now having said that, since we're on this topic, I believe that if we truly are, if the seconds on the clock are getting closer and closer to midnight, meaning this thing's about to wrap up, we're coming to the end of the age, we're getting ready to embark into the millennial reign of Christ, which means that Christ would be coming back on a white horse with his saints, which means that before that happens, the church, the ecclesia, will be harpazoed, raptured, captured up, caught up. And then we'll be thrusted into this tribulation period. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. Jude says this. He's coming out of heaven with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. So let me recap what's going on in Syria. So this past week, Islamist-led rebels seized control over the weekend of Aleppo. And as a result of this, there's also been widespread reports, including observers that are on the ground, that have indicated that Iran-backed Iraqi militias have also been pouring across the border into eastern Syria to assist Damascus in repelling the Islamic militant advance after Al-Qaeda splinter group took over Aleppo this weekend. Then we have the news that the Iranian military forces could soon be on the verge of intervening directly in this conflict. So again, now we have another hot point. Think about everything that's going on in Europe and everything with with Israel and its seven fronts of war going on. And now you have this going on in Syria. Wow, guys. Wow. And then you've got this news.
All right, breaking just moments ago, President-elect Donald Trump taking to True Social, calling for the release of all hostages held captive in Gaza. He writes in part, quote, please let this truth serve to represent that if the hostages are not released prior to January 20th, 2025, the date that I proudly assume office as president of the United States, there will be all hell to pay in the Middle East. And for those in charge who perpetrated these atrocities against humanity. His stern warning, of course, coming just hours after the IDF confirmed the hostage death of an Israeli American. Israel says Omar Nutra, who thought to have been taken hostage by Hamas and held in the Gaza Strip, but was in fact killed on October 7th. They said Hamas was holding his body. That is an update from the president-elect vowing to hold firm if that does not happen, Mike, those hostages released.
Well, Sandra, I'm thinking back to the Carter administration, late in the Carter administration, when Iran was holding American hostages. And literally, on Ronald Reagan's inauguration day, they were released to American custody. So let's hope for the sake of these hostages, something like that happens, or hopefully even sooner.
All right, guys, so what do you think? Is that going to happen again? How will Hamas respond? Will the hostages be released before Trump takes office? We'd love to hear from you in the chat. Hit yes if you believe so, or hit no if you do not. And then the question arises, if they don't, what does this look like? What will Trump do? What does he mean when he says that there will be all hell to pay? Are we going to see U.S. forces, fighter jets, an air attack go straight into these areas? I mean, what does this even look like? So again, you can see, guys, how this thing is just getting completely out of hand at this point, and it's escalating and escalating. All right, I'm sure you probably saw this, but we're going to talk about this too. Trump threatens a 100% tariff on BRICS countries if they, quote, abandon a U.S. dollar. Look at this headline. The president-elect wrote that the coalition of non-Western countries, quote, should expect to say goodbye to selling into the wonderful U.S. economy if it backs a currency other than the U.S. dollar. Wow. Check this out.
Like Trump is vowing to impose 100% tariffs on BRICS nations unless they commit to not developing a new currency. Trump made the declaration in a Truth Social post Saturday saying, quote, there is no chance that the BRICS will replace the U.S. dollar in international trade, and any country that tries should wave goodbye to America. BRICS is a group comprised of nine countries with emerging economies. They initially included Russia, China, India, Brazil, and South Africa. But earlier this year, Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, and the United Arab Emirates formally joined the group. CBS News Money Watch correspondent Kelly O'Grady joins us now for more. Kelly, what effects would 100% tariffs on these nations have on consumers?
So look, if they were actually implemented, prices would likely go up because companies importing goods from China, from Brazil, from those countries, they would have to pay a 100% tax on that. And then what would they do? They would likely pass that on to us. Maybe not the full amount, but likely a lot of that. And so the other thing to think about is we are already hearing, oh, we were thinking about a 10% tariff on China previously. There are already tariffs on China that exist right now. A lot of companies are thinking, well, where can I move my manufacturing? India is a good option. Indonesia, which has applied for membership to the BRICS bloc, is a good option. So now companies would also be thinking, okay, well, I can't do it in China. I can't do it over there. They might move manufacturing here, which would help with jobs, but also increase labor costs. But I said that's if it's implemented, right? Okay. This could also be a negotiating tactic.
Why is Trump pushing for this commitment to for them to not develop their own currency?
So the U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency. The vast majority of transactions when one company from one country and one company from another transact, they happen in the U.S. dollar. Okay. Money is power. Mm. And so if you were to have these other countries put together an alternative currency, some of that power could go away. That could be bad because it would make it harder for us to pay off our debts, and it would also impact our influence on the world stage. I will give you one really impactful example. When Western nations impose economic sanctions on, let's say, Russia at the beginning of the Ukraine war, that really choked them financially. If Russia was able to transact with other countries in a different currency, the bite of those sanctions go away.
So you sort of explained some of the motivations why the BRICS nations and the BRICS bloc would want to have their own currency. Are there any other reasons that you mentioned other than obviously money is power and it would remove the sting of sanctions?
So this gives them an opportunity to be less reliant on the United States. And of course, China, India, some of these developing economic superpowers want to have that more power than they do right now. So, but the sanctions one is a very big one because the R in BRICS is Russia and they hold a lot of influence on that block.
All right, so let's stop for a second and let's talk about this. Let's recap for a second. So I believe that these wars, conflicts, these military operations, all this stuff is gonna continue to escalate. When we go into 2025, we could really see things really advance. There's no doubt about it. I don't see this stuff calming down. And when they say peace and safety, it's only going to bring sudden destruction. So it's not going anywhere. It's only going to escalate. And then who knows what this, if BRICS goes forward with their de-dollarization agenda, it's going to be interesting. If Trump does implement these 100% tariffs, what that's going to mean for our economy. So you look for an economic shaking. I have no doubt about that. That's going to come too. They're already saying that with these tariffs, the average American is going to pay. We're going to pay for that out of our pocket. We go to the grocery and this and that. And even Elon Musk guys came out and said that temporarily that our economy could be shaken up by this and we could take a hit. But again, their hope is that eventually we will come out of this and we'll come out better than what we started because we will not rely on all these foreign nations like China and so on and so forth to supply us these products and these materials and things that we rely on. Now, again, I don't know. Time will tell. But again, it's interesting to say the least. Then you have, we're not going to talk about this today. We'll probably do a whole podcast on this. But you've got these shakeups, scandals, and downfalls of ministries, ministers, networks. And this stuff is continuing it's like dominoes just falling at a rapid pace. I mean, if we went through 2024, guys, and we brought up every report of pastors, leaders, men, women in the body of Christ that has fell to some type of scandal or moral failure or this or that, I'm telling you, it would take a whole entire hour's podcast to cover that. But do we believe that 2025 is going to be any different? Now, again, I don't want to get heavily into this in details, but we'll talk more about this probably this week. But remember, the Lord says judgment begins in the house of God. Now, why does he do that? Because, again, where there is little known, little is required. Where much is known, much is required. If we have been given the responsibility to present and preach the gospel, we're going to be held to a higher accountability. Okay, we'll get more into that, guys. I don't want to talk about that today. But then something that I've noticed, and I really believe this is going to really pick up, and that's the whole UFO, UAP thing. There was a new report that came out this week that I thought was very interesting. And I'm sure you guys heard about this. Mysterious lights were seen over Capitol Hill, sparking, quote, fears of UFOs in Washington. All right, quote, an ominous quartet of gleaming lights above the U.S. Capitol building have left some afraid the alien invasion has finally arrived. The photo taken at night just outside of the Congress with the dome of Capitol Hill in full view was taken by U.S. Air Force veteran Dennis Diggins, who now works as a licensed tour guide in the Washington, D.C. area, as well as a professional travel director. The eerie triangular formation of lights that Diggins captured in his photo seems to hover just feet over the Statue of Freedom at the top of the Capitol Dome. Quote, that's absolutely insane, one spectator said on the strange glowing orbs, which look like landing lights on some otherly worldly craft. The image comes just weeks after a pair of stunning public hearings in both the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives, where lawmakers probed current and retired Pentagon officials over the state of intelligence of what used to be called flying saucers. The House's hearing included a first look at a bizarre, unsettling report alleging that an illegal, unacknowledged special access program named Immaculate Consolation has been set up to, quote, detect, quarantine, and transfer UFO data away from public view. But while some were clamoring for video that might link this new sighting to the wider UFO debate on the Hill, others pushed back on the speculative fervor over these strange lights. Now here, what you're looking at is this is the formation of these lights that were seen, again, over the Statue of Freedom in the nation's capital here. All right, so let me go down here. The picture is clearly a glare reflection, one person said, of the lens of the camera off the street's light below. But if you go down here, guys, let's see if we can pull it. Here we go. This is this happened on November 26th. Let me pull this up this is on X. So here's a picture of it. Now you can see this is clearly not a reflection of those street lights. Here's those four orbs, again, seen from a different angle. So again, this is clearly not quote-unquote reflection lights. I'm going to pause this for a second. This kind of reminds me, guys, of the Phoenix lights in Arizona back in, what was it, 1990-something. Okay, but here's a little fun fact for you, too. This is not the first time that there has been these unidentified flying objects over Washington. In fact, one of these incidents took place in July 12th to the 29th. So over a period of 10 days back in 1952, there were multiple unidentified flying objects that were spotted over Washington, D.C. According to radar operators at Washington National Airport, Andrews Air Force Base, they tracked these unusual blips moving at incredible speeds and in performing abrupt maneuvers that were impossible to make. Again, this was not recent. This is what's mind-blowing to me, guys, because in 2024, we could say, well, these are drones and they can make these maneuvers. That's fine. That argument could stand. But this happened in 1952. Witnesses included pilots, radar operators, and citizens all reported seeing these strange lights in the sky. These sightings prompted a scramble of fighter jets, but pilots reportedly found nothing when they arrived in the area in which they were seen. On occasions, pilots claim the UFOs disappeared as jets approached and reappeared once the jets left the perimeter. The widespread sightings caused a media frenzy and raised concerns about national security during the early years of the Cold War. And of course, later on, the Air Force came out and attributed the sightings to a, quote, temperature inversion, a weather phenomenon that causes radar anomalies. However, many were skeptical of this explanation. Now, of course, this comes on the heels of all these quote-unquote mystery drones that are popping up at U.S. air bases here in America and then recently in the United Kingdom. Check it out.
The U.S. Air Force says unidentified drones have been spotted over four joint U.S. and U.K. military bases in England. The mysterious drones have repeatedly appeared for over a week now. Stephanie Bennett is live in London. So, Stephanie, this is pretty disturbing. What do we know about these drones?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Julie. I mean, the details are still very limited at this time. We do know that the sightings started last week on November 20th, and they have really ranged in size, in style, and also the amount that we've been seeing over that last week or so. Now, a senior British official confirmed to Fox that the UK has deployed about 60 troops, including counter-drone specialists, to help determine who is behind this and to help defend the air bases amid fears it's a potential coordinated operation. They're describing the incidents as unusual and say this is a serious set of circumstances. Take a look at this map. The bases are spread across England and are all used by U.S. Air Force. Now, the drones have been seen over RAF Fairford, Lakenheath, Mildenhall, and Feltwell. For now, civilian police, supported by the UK Ministry of Defense, have launched an investigation. And so far, we're told there has been no impact to residents or infrastructure, and they have not been identified as hostile. While a Ministry of Defense spokesperson said, "We take threats seriously and maintain robust measures at defense sites, but as of right now, it has not had any significant mission impact." At a Pentagon briefing, Fox's chief national security correspondent Jennifer Griffin asked whether the drones appear to be those of hobbyists or something more sinister and concerning.
Again, it would be, premature to draw any conclusions. We've got to see what these are. I mean, it's entirely possible that it could be hobbyist or something else. We just got to look into it. So,
yeah, and for now, the U.S. Air Force says the investigation, of course, is still ongoing. And right now, all eyes are on the skies.
All right. Then we had this was very interesting. I want to show you this clip. This was an incident that was reported by a police officer in Connecticut who encountered personally a UFO while he was on duty back in 2022. Check this out.
Version may not have been too far off, at least not from what a Connecticut police officer named Robert Klein saw back in April of 2022. Officer Klein is a married father of four and a 25-year law enforcement veteran in Lower Fairfield County, about 40 minutes north of New York City and about a par five from where I live. I am showing you a reenactment of what the officer saw, okay? So you can kind of see from his perspective what this is. A reenactment, though. I just want you to know that this guy is not a random nut job. He's an officer of the law. As a UFO spotter or anything else, he is what my business calls a highly reliable source. Did I mention he coaches football and basketball in his off hours? And on that particular April night, Officer Klein was barely into his overnight shift when he says his patrol car filled with light on a dark stretch of road that runs along a lake. Sounds a lot like what Richard Dreyfuss saw. You're watching this really well done reenactment of his experience. The light was different from anything he'd ever seen before. It glowed like this, like red and green and white and orange, changed colors over and over. And it hovered over his car before flying, zipping across the lake in the blink of an eye, a.k.a. not earthly speeds. That was a lot for him to take in. And beyond telling his partner and a couple of his buddies what he saw that night, he wasn't too keen on letting anyone else know. It was just a lot. It's a lot to process. And he hasn't gone public with his close encounter until tonight. Officer Klein joins me exclusively right now to share his story. And trust me, he brought the receipts, as in video of his own, not reenactment, his own. Also want to welcome back to the program Ben Hansen. Ben is the host of UFO Witness on Discovery Plus and the first expert that Officer Klein reached out to. Ben, welcome back. And Officer Klein, thank you so much for being here. It's really good to see you. I really appreciate this.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Ashley. And happy Thanksgiving. You're right. I think people are going to be talking about this around the dinner table.
I think so. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you. Okay, Officer Klein, I'm going to start with you, and I'm just going to give you the floor. Take me through the experience. We've seen the reenactment, but I want to hear you tell me about it.
Sure. I had just started my midnight shift, which is 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. I was approximately 40 minutes into the shift, and I was checking up north near the body of water, which is a reservoir. as I was about 250 feet in, all of a sudden, from my left rear, there was a really strong light. It lit up the entire cab of my cruiser to the point where I was having a hard time driving because I really couldn't see. I was blinded by it. So I immediately put it into park, rolled down the window, and blocked the light with my hand because it was very intense to see where it was coming from and what exactly it was. At that point, the light started to move along the left side of the cruiser until it stopped right in front off to the left. As I looked up, that's when I saw this object. It was approximately 30 feet away from me. It was fairly close. And it was probably about the size of like a Mini Cooper. And it was a perfect sphere. And it almost looked like plasma moving constantly. And it was changing colors from red to green to white. And then it repeated the colors again. At this point, I was perplexed and confused at what I was looking at because I'd never, in 25 years working as a police officer, encountered anything like this. And when I came to, I took my spotlight and shined the light at it. And as soon as I hit it with my spotlight, it instantaneously moved across the body of water. And that's when I sort of snapped out of it and took out my camera and started recording and taking pictures.
Okay, well, that's a really good cue for our control room to start moving away from the reenactment and moving to your video, the video that you began shooting as you realized this thing just moved at warp speed. So this is, Officer Klein, your iPhone camera. Is that what I'm seeing?
Yes.
This is the point where it's already gone across the lake, right?
That's the end of it. There's a beginning part where you get a better view of it over the water.
So we may have to re-rack it, which we'll do. We're going to show this a couple of times, so I don't want our viewers to worry. But the interesting thing that, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you took out your, you've got like a handheld strobe. A lot of police officers have like a flashlight that can strobe. When you hit the UAP above you, that was, you know, straight above the cruiser with the strobe, that's when it blinked and instantly was across the lake. And if that's correct, how far did it go and how fast?
It was instantaneous. And when I mean instantaneous, it was in front of me and then it wasn't. It was over the water. I couldn't see it go from A to B. That's how fast it moved. And at that point, I took out my camera to begin recording because I knew I had to get evidence of this.
You know, Officer Klein, you're the guy I call if I see it. You know, what was your instinct when you'd gone through? And of course, you're alone out there. What was your instinct? What did you want to do? What did you end up doing?
To be honest with you, I was trying to just process what I was looking at. You know, I've been doing this job for 25 years. I've seen my fair share of drones, meteors, and everything else. And I knew that this was something that I've never come across. It wasn't a drone, I can guarantee you that. And it was something I still to this day, I'm perplexed. And like I said, I was fairly close to this thing, 30 feet. I got a very close up view of it and I froze. I wasn't in fear. I just was really trying to understand what exactly I was looking at. And to this day, I'm just perplexed by it.
Officer, I know, I think I know what you were going through in terms of thinking through, what do I do with this information? Who do I tell? How big a deal do I make of it? Obviously, my life's been rattled, but, you know, I don't want people to think I'm crazy. And this is, I think, what a lot of people go through when they witness these unexplained phenomena. So that's where, Ben, I'm going to get you to jump in, because ultimately he ended up reaching out to you. So, Ben, take it from there.
Yeah, so he reached out to me through one of my websites, and he started telling me his story, and he said that he had video of it. And I have a team. A lot's happened in the past year, Ashley, since we've been talking. I put together a team of former intelligence analysts and law enforcement, and I can't do all this myself. So our team got to work, and we started interviewing him. He gave an amazing interview. And to have the video itself, I think, is icing on the cake. But I think people need to understand, when you have a witness that comes that close, especially somebody who in law enforcement capacity. Skeptics will try and look at the video and say, okay, well, this could be any number of things. We're lucky we even have video. But if you can't dismiss the beginning of the event where unmistakably you have something the size of a car, which incidentally, if anyone is watching the hearings lately with they had mentioned a similar event on the West Coast with another police officer who described the object the size of a Prius. We've had these sightings. They're not quite uncommon where people describe them as a mini sun. Or something of nature where they describe kind of like a plasma type exterior that changes colors, that pulsates. So imagine this being 30 feet from you, just like in Close Encounters, which was really one of my favorite movies. And it shines a light. And Robert told us the light was not kind of illuminating other objects and bouncing off of the nearby, you know, road and rocks. It was strange because it was isolated just to his car, basically, and he couldn't figure out how that was happening. So the other thing I'll point out is that a lot of people, they wonder, why don't they take out their phone earlier? This is very, very common where someone is so kind of like in a trance and blown away by what they're seeing. They don't think to record. And we're lucky that we got anything out of this. So it's a lot to unpack. It's just the tip of the iceberg. In fact, so much that our team is going to be going out to Connecticut on the ground because we've uncovered up to a half a dozen different witnesses, we believe, to the same phenomena.
So, Officer Klein, the sound on your video was fairly quiet, but do you recall any sounds or anything that might have been happening around you? Was there any movement? I mean, obviously, Richard Dreyfuss had mailboxes and railway crossings all rattling, but do you remember any other effect other than the light?
There was no movement. It gave off a low hum, which was very distinct, and nothing in none of the radio in the car, nothing was affected. It was just, I heard a low hum, and the light was just very intense. Like, I could feel it.
So, you know, with that information, Ben, you know, you and I have spoken in the last many months about the congressional hearings and the fact that Congress actually, you know, put together the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. And I think they even put a call center, but it wasn't for the average Joe. It was supposed to be for military and government representatives who may have had these encounters. Well, that to me would be Officer Klein. He's a law enforcement officer with a remarkable experience. Would that be the kind of reporting that the Aero office would want to have?
I can't speak to Aero specifically, but I can say there have been reports such as this where agencies have been interested, especially because if you open the floodgates right now to all public reporting, it's going to be quite an effort to keep. They're all going to think, you know, that they're going to show up at their doorstep and take every report. And there's a lot of vetting that has to take place. So in this particular instance, though, we not only have one seasoned law enforcement officer, we have an officer who responded to a police call. We at first thought it was a 911 call, but the town next to it, a witness was at a community center. And this happened just about 2 months prior. And at the community center, she was actually concerned, a little afraid to walk to her car because two or three of these large orbs, two or three of them were darting around in the sky and flew directly over her head. So this was prior to Officer Klein's sighting. And the officer who responded was able to see photos and the media on her phone and said she was blown away. And unfortunately, that media was lost when she reset her phone. But you have several law enforcement involved in this case, and definitely to answer your question, there are agencies who are doing their due diligence and would like to speak to them, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always willing to suspend disbelief, but also think through the potential, what we don't know. I mean, there's so much. We don't know what we don't know. We don't know if foreign countries have intelligence and tech that we simply can't imagine, meaning how quickly that light was able to move across the lake. But it sure didn't look natural, at least in terms of the way it was reproduced. Thank you to both of you. First of all, like Officer Klein, thank you for being public and talking about it. You're a good guy, and you're very believable. And I'm really appreciative that you're sharing this information. I think a lot of people aren't. And the more people talk about what they've seen, the more data points we can give to people like Ben. And Ben, thank you on this Thanksgiving for doing this. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sure we'll be in touch. We'll be out on the field and might want to put a call out to people to come see us, because we're looking for more witnesses.
All right, guys. So here's the conclusion of the matter. 2024 has been a year for the books. We've had so many things escalating, so many things increasing in activity. And again, it would be naive to think that 2025 is not going to be one that we've got to be prepared for everything. We're talking about deception. We're talking about the falling away. We're talking about the wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We're talking about natural disasters, great and fearful sights. But everything that Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 said would happen. Again, the writer said that these things would come as birth pangs of the Messiah. They would increase in intensity, increase in activity. They would increase in magnitude. That's why the gospel writer of Matthew said in Matthew 24, you're going to hear of these wars and these rumors of wars, but be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, guys, why make that assumption? Why say that? The end is not yet. The reason why, again, the end is not yet, because nation will rise against nation. Kingdom will rise against kingdom. There will be famines. There will be pestilence. There will be earthquakes in various places. And these are all the beginning of sorrows. So these, again, that's why the writer says the end is not yet. Because now we just did a podcast last week about, I believe it was six things that must take place before the end of the age. Charisma Magazine even reposted our podcast. So I'm we're very honored that they shared that podcast on their publication on Charisma News and Charisma Magazine. But we talked about six major events that must take place for the end of the age. And this is why I believe when he says the end is not yet, because all these things have to transpire. If you didn't watch that podcast, you need to go watch that. There's major events that have to transpire, and this is going to usher in the end of the age as we know it, and it will usher in, come on, the age of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. So, guys, this was not a podcast to put fear in your hearts or to bring to trouble you or to bring bad news. No, this is to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to know that when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, keep looking up and lifting up your heads, because what did he say? Your redemption is truly drawing near. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, if you don't have a free app, I want to encourage you today to pick it up today. Apple, Android, wherever you get your podcast, wherever you get your apps, wherever you get that at, Apple, Android, download our free app today, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. And as always, guys, if this ministry blessed you, encouraged you, equipped you, we want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that you can do it electronically through the app. That's the easiest way. You can give by website. You can give through PayPal. You can give through Cash App. You can give through Venmo. There's so many different ways you can do it electronically, or you can give what I call the old school method. You can give by check or money order, and you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, hang in there for a second. I'm going to give you some announcements. Again, we've been doing two programs a day, 2 p.m. and then 8 p.m. Our family, as I've said, we've taken hit after hit after hit when it comes to physical ailments. We've had head colds, we've had viruses, we've had sicknesses, and I'm just coming out of another one, and we're praying that this stuff turns around. in Jesus' name. And again, I do feel much better, but I'm not 100% yet. So I want to use wisdom and listen to my body. Excuse me, my point exactly. I want to use wisdom and I don't want to push myself too much. So we're going to probably the rest of this week, we're going to stick with doing one podcast every day. Now we'll probably be on here. We'll be here, Lord willing, again, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we'll probably come on Saturday as well. So we've still got a lot of stuff to cover this week. And again, it won't just be information. It'll be, we'll probably do some equipping messages as well. So again, I know you guys understand this. We love you. We appreciate your prayers, your intercession for our family. Again, we'll keep you updated on all this as we do it. So again, we appreciate you coming on today for this 2 p.m. podcast. And until we see you guys tomorrow, we love you. We appreciate you. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.